Well, you know, Penelope Menier, is she who would be there for you generally if you were at the Workshop 17 environment?
Definitely.
Looking after the brand and bringing joy to all and sundry, and who wasn't with us on Monday, despite the fact we announced it four times.
Four times in a row.
No, guys, sorry, but you didn't. You confuse me.
Well, it's lovely that you're here now. Better late than never. This does come from Cape Town. It takes a bit of time to get
riding
you
in the bus.
Keep you guys keen. You know, I don't want to make it. You know, I'm here all the time. You know, I've got to get up and keep you a bit keen.
Yeah.
Well, welcome. It's lovely to see you again. And we were just joking, obviously. Yeah. We were hoping you'd be here on Monday, but it's fine. 2 days later is a regular kind of South African approach to business. And we're talking about work now.
Yes, that's where I was, actually. Yeah. I was working. So, yeah, prioritizing correctly. So, yeah, we're talking about work, and I think how work has really changed and evolved over the last, I would say, not even decade, the last 4 or 5 years.
And it's constantly evolving. You know, the AI phenomenon is driving things in interesting directions, many positive and many not so positive. Yeah. But either way, the workplace is evolving constantly. And I think part of that evolution is the shared concept, or the concept of shared working space. It makes so much sense on so many levels. But why don't we unpack some of those?
Yeah, so I think if we look at pre-COVID, I know we always look at PC and PC, post and pre, you know, and if I go back to, don't want to say that I'm that old, but when I go back to my earlier career, it was a lot more corporate and serious. We were definitely the suit era. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a suit recently, anyone in a suit.
Well, it's definitely not a Natal thing, for sure, or a KZN thing. It's just too hot. And
that's true.
In legal terms, I suppose, in that environment, there's still a formal suit attire for courts, procedures, etc. But apart from that, I don't know. Most of the high net worth individuals that seem to be operating now, very, very casual.
Yeah, very casual. I mean, let alone a tie. I don't know when I last saw a tie, maybe at a funeral or a wedding, but that's about it. Yeah. So I think if you look at that, the whole sort of transition of workwear has changed considerably if you look in the last 10 years.
I don't think it's a good thing, personally. I wouldn't have to let this side down. Everyone looks like the lowest common denominator. Instead of raising the ships, we're letting it all fall down.
Well, I do see there's a different trend, a slip-slop trend in Bolito. So that goes, kind of transcends from the beach into the workspace.
Well, we've taken a view here in the studio. Anyone that comes in open sandals, no, they must go.
Let alone no shoes. I've seen that quite often.
No,
I'm like, what?
We will not tolerate any of that, because it brings with it the risk of serious
infection.
Well, apart from that, you know, in a confined space, you've got to have air freshener and stuff. No.
No, I totally get you. So no, but we do see a lot of slip slops. I'm going to call it the slip slop era or population, which is fine. You know, so let's just go back to how work has really changed. I mean, obviously, we all kind of had to start working from home, and that was a huge change for all of us. And then I think the coming back post COVID, there was a lot of people kind of reluctant to go back to work. Understandably so, because our lifestyles have changed considerably.
Yeah,
you know, the way that we do things now, we've got during COVID we had to balance our lives and our work.
Yeah.
And we don't want to kind of give those things up. We want to be able to still go to watch our son play soccer, or we want to be able to maybe go for a walk on the beach early before work, or even at lunchtime. So it's kind of that sort of, it's transcended into the workspace, which I love. And I think that's where Workshop 17 really lends itself to a more, I would say, I want to use the word balance, because life isn't really a balance.
A flexible approach.
Absolutely. A more flexible approach.
Does one get more done in a more flexible kind of world? Or is it just, are we kidding ourselves? Are we getting more fun done and less work done?
Look, the debate is definitely open, because the one stance is that there's no such thing as multitasking. I mean, you can't be sort of hyper-focused when you multitask.
Well, I see that all the time in terms of, here, even in our environment, those that have little ones, the attention has got to be split, because you're a mother or a father and a colleague and a co-worker, et cetera, et cetera. But it's all part of who you are. So
absolutely.
I think, in a sense, we're making allowances now for, and we understand you have to fetch little Johnny from school. But from a hard-nosed professional work environment, You know, these people that are working now remotely from motherships that are elsewhere in the world, they've got trackers on their computers and on their mouses, if that's the plural of this mice. Ubiquitous. Well, I don't know whether computer mouses are mice. But it tracks their keystrokes and their mouse movement to make sure that they are at their desk. And if they are not, because they've gone to fetch Johnny from school or whatever, they are penalized heavily.
Yeah. But I mean, that certainly doesn't lend itself to productivity or just wellness in the workspace. Mm. And I hear you. And there's a lot of that sort of, I want to call it micromanaging, but control of management over productivity.
But the reason they've done that is because having not done that originally during the COVID thing, and people are supposedly at work. You've seen those images of all those TikToks. Having a work meeting there with the Zoom, and they've got like a bikini on underneath, just a proper top. And then suddenly it goes, oh, my word. So, you know, they're not really, you can understand if you're looking for products. I mean, I don't really care if someone is on an incentive-driven basis and they deliver, they hit the target. I don't mind if they come to work or not, as long as they hit the target.
Absolutely.
The problem is if they don't hit the target.
No, I think that's really important. I think we've done a lot of research around that in terms of hitting the target and doing your work and showing up for the work and really, you know, being productive. Over and above that, you know, if you have to do X, Y, and Z and you're still managing to deliver, I think that's important. And I think managers and bosses, not obviously everywhere, but in a large portion of businesses, are much more accepting as to what they were many years ago.
Because I think that the game has changed to a degree where it's no longer just knocking the ball out of the court from a return on investment perspective for shareholders and owners. It's now very much a balance of how happy is your team, how is your environment catering to the needs of those that work here, because that is a core fundamental.
Absolutely.
Almost more important to many than the results, although it would be useful if they were all on par.
Absolutely. No, I think you're 100% spot on, because you know, if you've got a happy team, you've got a very productive team.
Yeah.
And there you go. You're hitting up those things both out of the park. And I think bosses and big companies and corporations are a lot more accountable these days. You know, it's not like they can sweep everything under the rug and it's all, you know, we've got social media, we've got platforms and forums where people review their own companies, and that's online. Yeah. So there's that accountability.
Yeah, and you're quite right. The entire interplay, if you can call it, between people now it's a lot more, it's in a sense freer to a degree, but it's a lot more constrained, because you dare not say or do what was common practice in the 70s, for example. No, that'll get you into serious trouble, because there are now almost stricter, or they're not rules and regulations, they are mores, social norms and guidelines.
Behaviors.
But you've got to be very, very, very careful not to overstep the mark.
Which is quite tricky for us, some of us.
Some of us. Yeah. No names, no
facts. No.
But generally speaking, I think it is probably, as these things go, they evolve constantly, and it is constantly evolving. And we are moving into a space where the AI, I'm not going to call it a threat, I'm going to call it an opportunity. An AI opportunity is there to take some of the mundanity out of the daily grind, which is what I think people resent tremendously, filling in reporting
automation
schedules and things like that, which is very unproductive.
Yeah, very.
And it's a necessary evil, because clearly management needs to know what's happening. But the more that becomes automated and the more that becomes artificially intelligent controlled, it frees the human up for the creative stuff.
Absolutely.
True.
I think that's very exciting.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, 100%. But also if it's guided and directed in the right way, because you could be freeing up time and space for creativity, but if you haven't harnessed that creativity within that individual and spent time harnessing it, then all you're doing is just automating and leaving dead space.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you were talking about AI also could possibly be detrimental to productivity within the workplace.
Well, what I'm referring actually more to the fact that certain jobs are going to be obsolete.
Yeah, 100%.
And that means that there is a very, very significant reason for people to start looking seriously at the future scenarios as to how they are going to fit into the future scenario in terms of what they're doing right now. Because if what you're doing right now can be replaced, particularly when it talks about the sales team, you know, the
sales, marketing, design, lawyers, legal.
Well, there it is. Yeah.
But I think we're, I mean, maybe I'm, look, I'm not an AI expert by any means, just that my son's doing data science, so that's only affiliation. But I do think that it is definitely an exciting arena. I think you talk about taking away the mundane jobs, and the automation is a big thing. You know, having that, and we've obviously integrated a lot of that automation into our workspace and our platforms. And it does take away that mundaneness. It does take away, it frees up so much more time for productivity. And where I think, and I might be wrong with what I'm kind of ascertaining from what you said, I think where there's an opportunity is for people that have freer, that have more time on their hands, to start mentoring and start creating those, you know, that element of creativity. So say I've now got an extra 3 hours a week or 4 hours a week, I have that opportunity now to mentor younger people in hands-on creativity. So AI hasn't got to the fact where it can actually build relationships.
There we go.
And I think that's something that we need to step into, and we kind of lean into that relationship building.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's...
Working hand in hand with
exactly.
it.
Exactly, yeah.
100%.
Talking about your particular project, pet project, you've come down from Cape Town to get the Bolito space cooking, because Workshop 17 is extremely well received and accepted in Cape Town. I think you've got 6 outlets there.
We will have by the beginning of January, 6.
So that's how popular the concept is, and how people have embraced it, and the productivity that you're seeing coming from those hubs is off the charts. I think elsewhere in the country there are examples.
Yeah, so we've got 4 in Johannesburg, and 4 in Mauritius, and we've also partnered with a African premier co-working space. So that kind of gives us 24 locations across Africa in 7 countries.
They're hugely exciting, and it goes to show that, you know, the setup costs for a company now. In the past, it was usurious, trying to secure premises and the rental and the deposit, and then the furnishing thereof, and then equipping it with the, you know, communications technology, etc., etc. It was just very, very, very costly and inconvenient to a large degree. Yeah. Now you want to start up or create, open a branch in another city or whatever. It's all there, and it's excitingly working like a charm. Bolito has just come on board in terms of bridging the gap, but Bolito is a special case. You know, we are very safe, according to our survey. Very safe
great.
And very
I'll
secure.
I'll put that on our...
But we are also a little bit backward in terms of the trends that are currently, well, as we have seen, Cape Town, Joburg, Mauritius, the rest of the world, the rest of Africa, all accepting of this concept and oversubscribed to a large degree. Bolito, there is still some space available. How lucky are we?
Hey? Very, very lucky.
Yeah,
but it's not going to last long.
No. It's filling up fast. And we're seeing more and more solo entrepreneurs coming in, which is awesome because they need to get out of their space at home.
Yeah.
And it's not just because they're bored or they want someone around there. It's the noise, the dog or the washing machine or whatever it is, and they want the convenience.
And also, I mean, I was looking at those pods, and I stood in one of those pods, and it's absolutely silent. It's completely noise cancelling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have noisy kids, noisy dogs at home, and you don't want to have that unprofessional sort of... I mean, we have a lot of entrepreneurs here.
Well, you're going to bring one of those pods home.
He's going to sleep in the pot. We're just going to turn it up on its side. You can sleep in the pot.
Bring the dog to work.
We'll drill some holes in it so you can breathe.
Getting back to to reality. We are very excited about expanding our opportunity in terms of our new podcasting, vodcasting space into your space.
Well, we're really excited about that.
It's a lovely collaboration,
yeah,
I think.
It's fantastic.
And that will then clearly be available for others to enjoy and to use as well. We're looking forward to that hugely. I believe you're going to have a large presence at the Bolito Pro coming up. You're going to be looking at taking that space as well.
Yes, so we are in talks with Bolito Pro at the moment, and we have another partner, Sealand Gear, who will also be hopefully joining us with that. So yeah, we're looking at hopefully taking over the VIP section, and in talks with Colette and Greg. So we're looking forward to that.
Well, there's big stuff on the cards. Yep. It's all, you know, all systems go for Workshop 17 in Bolito and around the rest of the country. Penelope Menier is the marketing specialist behind the brand. We're very delighted that she pops into the studio from time to time to spread the sunshine. And we look forward to you going back to Cape Town shortly, but maybe before you go,
absolutely,
we can have the opportunity to bring you around one more time for a chat.
Love
a,
that.
A bit of fun on the morning show.
Fantastic.
This will be up as a podcast shortly, so if you've only just joined us and you wanted to catch the beginning of the show, don't worry, you'll be able to download it and send it around the world like that.